Blog Talk Radio.
Smith and Weaver of Dreams and Poetic Picasso. Unfortunately, Louie Wildove is under the weather and won't be able to host tonight. This show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets, and we have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. Tonight is based on front page picks from November, as well as also some open poetry. And I'm going to go to the studio and see if we have any callers. All right, we do. Hello, Weaver.
Hello. Hello, Gray.
Welcome to the show. And we have another caller. I believe this is Naomi.
Hello. Yes, it's Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
Full of baloney. Naomi. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Good. I hope you're enjoying your new year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going pretty well. Hope yours is
awesome. Going
good, too. Started out good.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much. All righty, Weaver, what do we have?
I think we have some poetry coming on. I feel it coming on like a breeze. Here we are. Here we have Youthful Ebullience by Randa Yosri. Naomi, could I put you to work immediately, please?
Oh, my darling. Ah, so kindly, of course.
Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you.
So this is Youthful Ebullience. The zeal and passion of nature's melodic genius and exuberance fills the spotlight with vivid floral design. Cheerleader trees with bouncy hairstyles perform synchronized cheers and dance routines. A flocati with colorful prints covers the woodland, radiates joy and goodness. The ebullience of the excited birds can be heard through their giggles and laughs. In a quiet mood, the elegant pond woos sensation as the manner of a princess takes him on a date and offers a plethora of romantic possibilities. A ceremony of grace sets mind at ease. A felicitous trip of harmony and neatness as magnificent as in the legends. End poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And that's such a lovely write. You know, it really captures the essence of spring in nature and its youthful exuberance. I really like cheerleader trees with bouncy hairstyles perform synchronized cheers and dance routines. And also, I really liked dig ebullience of excited birds can be heard through their giggles and laughs. Yeah, just a pretty, pretty poem, such a beautiful poem. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree. It's just a joy. It just bounces along, which I like very much. Lovely read too, Naomi. It'd be wonderful. I just thought this was perfect to describe what's happening when winter starts to go and spring starts to arrive. But I like you. I love that. Cheerleader trees with bouncy hairstyles. I love that one. It's so cool. Synchronized cheers and dance routines. That is just very clever. So, yes, altogether beautifully written with some lovely use of language. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Randa. That was lovely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. And Naomi, what did you think?
Well, yeah, Randa has this beautiful, beautiful way of writing. You know, usually I see her a lot on Brevity Writers on the show, Keeping It Brief, because she writes an amazing lot of brevities. But, you know, she always has this way with creative, amazing, stunning metaphors. And, you know, throughout this piece, you recited some of those lines there, Gray, but she just takes us right, into all the fairy tale creativity and beautifulness of this prompt here with her amazing writing. So amazingly well done.
Thank you, Naomi. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
Next we have Crowbar by Neutron Bomb. And I guess I shall read this one. Just give me a moment to open it up. Crowbar, Neutron Bomb. Her body is a dilapidated temple. Mascara stains her cheeks, and fuchsia is ingrained on her pout. As the rain lashes her face, she is rejuvenated like a baptismal fountain. The four walls that formed her prison are expanding like the universe. Her universe is expanding and retracting. She retreats and forces her life open with a crowbar. Pitching a tent city in the backyard, she stakes her claim, a coup d'etat. She holds her own space where life is transient. Forged in steel, her resolve hardens. Each chink in her armor earned through wit and grit. Gravel is embedded in her knees, in her elbows, and the palms of her hands. Welts of salt memorized on her face. But she rises from her downtrodden state to face the crowd's onslaught, whom are intent on stoning girl. End poem.
Beautiful read. And that was based on a quote, "Witness how one weeps, how she weeps until she dissolves and then wakes up to rebuild herself. One salt grain at a time the next morning." Yeah, such a beautiful poem on the quote. "Her body is a dilapidated temple. Mascara stains her cheeks, and fuchsia is ingrained on her pout. As the rain lashes her face, she is rejuvenated like a baptismal fountain. The four walls that formed her prison." Wow, just a haunting, haunting imagery there. And gravel is embedded in her knees, in her elbows, in the palms of her hands. Welts of salt memorialized on her face. Yeah, just a fantastic poem. Beautifully written, Neutron Bomb. Excellent read, Weaver. What did you think, Naomi?
Oh, yeah, this is of course, Neutron, her writing is just outstanding, I don't know if one day I'll be able to meet that standard of writing, but she's just fabulous. And, this is very, so powerful, this write. The metaphor she uses throughout it, of a dilapidation and, pitching a tent in the backyard. She stakes her claim, her coup d'etat. She's just the force of nature, this character here in this poem. And like you said, Gray, it's so well written to that prompt, that quote, just amazingly well done.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, this is a strong personality coming through here. I knew my voice was going to give me problems. Sorry. Yes, she knows what she's doing. She is ready for battle. Whether this is in real life or as a child would pitching a tent city in the backyard, she stakes her claim, her coup d'etat. So I'm not terribly 100% sure if this is an actual event or this is a child imagining an event, but it's beautiful, whatever it is. I can sometimes get the wrong things out of poetry because that's the way my mind works. I kind of am looking for something that sometimes isn't there, and that's just I thought this was beautifully written. I love that last line. So enigmatic. Hit your mark, girl. That sounds as though, how a runner gets down and gets a feet, your mark, girl. That kind of gives me the idea that she's on her way, which is it. But I thought it was, as usual, because she's a beautiful writer. It's just wonderful. So thank you, Neutron Bomb, for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. And excellent read. So what's up next?
What's up next is To Wear the Mask of the Dead by Minstrel. Now, Gray, would you care to have a little read of this one, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
"Stand and Deliver," D.E. Cummings. though you know me not, steadfast through the days of yore, days which have passed before, black and white where eyes were shot, where whiskey then forgot. A toast to you and anti-war, service and ambulance corps. Through these months, though three months in prison brought the enormous room then wrought, I look back from foreign shore, ponder writing all the more, regardless of critics caught and the demons that are fought with many things I abhor. End poem.
No, that was beautiful.
What did you think, Weaver?
It's writing in the style of Cummings. If you look at the A-N, you will see that he says, I noticed his rhyme scheme changed in the last stanza of Fame Speaks and then became broken with his stylistic word order change. To me, it feels dyslexic and grammatically incorrect, so I could not continue in that style. I chose instead to finish it in my own way. All right, okay, cool. So people do have distinctive styles, don't they? And sometimes that doesn't work for another person, doesn't feel comfortable with it. But I thought the ending was brilliant. I look back from foreign shore, ponder writing all the more, regardless of critics caught and the demons that are fought, with many things I abhor. So I think this is beautifully written. Black and white where eyes were short, or has whiskey then forgot. Very good. Yes, that's always a handy thing to have around. But I think this was a very interesting, well-studied poem with a lovely flavour of, it's just a lovely flavour to it. It's different, which I really enjoy. So thank you for sharing that.
Beautiful comment. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Mute, Naomi.
Hello.
Oh, yes. Mute. Yeah, this is an awesome homage to E. Cummings and, you know, his writing and poem that's so well written. Just a wonderful flow throughout it. So beautiful right here by Minstrel indeed.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. All right, Weaver, what's up next?
Right, next we have All About Love by Esama Chiba. I will give this a read. One moment while I open it. All About Love. Oh, beautiful picture. Barefoot on the wet sand, picking colorful shells. Every step is a heartbeat in each single moment. Gold rays of sunshine illuminate my soul. Dewdrops fall on the surface of soft skin, evaporate in the heat of passion. Emotions rise above our mortal existence. I touch the clouds with my hands. Love springs from sacred streams of beauty. My thoughts wander beyond the sea horizon. If the spirit is leading our path, tiny details remain in the memory to guide us into the distance. Life is not and will not ever be about us. Yet there is no universe until we created it with our own perceptions. Maybe if we are true enough to ourselves, only then can we perfectly understand all about love, life, and each other. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And that's such a touching poem. You know, it really speaks to existing and our life in that existence. If the spirit is leading our path, tiny details remain in the memory to guide us into the distance. And then maybe if we are true enough to ourselves, only then we can perfectly understand all about love, life, and each other. And this is based on a contest, and it's prompt. I think it's, one VV, and it's 18 lines. The true beauty is a ray that springs from the sacred depths of the soul and illuminates the body. just as life springs from the kennel of a stone and gives color and scent to a flower. And also, it's a perfect understanding between a man and a woman, and it happens in the blinking of an eye. This affinity is born in a single moment and is greater than all other affinities. The spiritual conversation we call love. So yeah, just a beautiful poem on that subject. Well done, Nesima. And what did you think of the poem, Naomi?
Yeah, I just love how she weaved nature into this poem. You know, right from the beginning, barefoot on the wet sand, picking colorful shells. Every step is a heartbeat in every single moment. Gold rays of sunshine illuminate my soul. And then, you know, the dewdrops fall on the surface of soft skin. And she brings in the heat of passion into it. If the spirit is leading our path. You know, this is so beautifully written throughout. Just stunning, stunning right here.
Are you on mute?
I am, sorry. A beautiful comment, Naomi. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, this is just, it's sweet and it's sensual and it's so clean and clear. I just thought it was wonderful. Dewdrops fall on surface of soft skin, evaporate in the heat of passion. Emotions rise above our mortal existence. I like that idea. But excuse me a second. Oh, this is awful. I'm so sorry. I love the fact that there is so much passion that evaporates water on the surface of their skin. That is just a wonderful concept, isn't it? And then I touch the cloud with my hands. Love springs from sacred streams of beauty. Yes, I thought it was very well written. So many beautiful little stanzas in there, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you for sharing that with us, Sammy.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, so what do we have next?
I'll tell you when I get it up. There we go. Exceedingly Good by Matt 29. And Gray, would you read this, please? Are you on mute?
I am. I seem to have a mute phone from the club tonight. Exceedingly Good.
Don't worry. Happens to us all. Me mostly.
Yeah, by Mark 29. And this poem goes, eggs scrambled, fried, poached, or boiled. The choices are many, but which one is preferential? Mine is definitely now scrambled, creamy eggs. The consistency made better with spinach and cheese. When I was younger, it was always boiled eggs. Having soldiers made out of buttered toast strips, dipping them into the soft yolk was heaven. Fried egg with the yolk running came a close second. Nowadays, cooking is my kingdom, and eggs feature heavily. Frittata of varying degrees from leeks, peppers, and onions, made simply by whisking eggs and frying vegetables, mixing together before grilling under the grill briefly to cook top. Other versions of frittata include spinach and tomato. Eggs, though, have many other uses and are not just for breakfast. Brilliant for separating and making chocolate mousse, the whites whisked together, then folded into egg-chocolate mixture. Finally, I discovered egg perfection through caring. The delight was eggy bread or French toast. Put simply, it is bread soaked in whisked eggs and fried. Delicious with some orange peel and chocolate spread. Irresistible. What's your preference? End poem. And this is based on, how do you like your eggs poem based on this? And yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, eggs are delicious and delightful treat, you know, for savory and sweet dishes. So I thought he captured it, the essence of the egg, exceedingly good. What did you think, Weaver?
What I think is I'm hungry. That is a beautiful ode to eggs. Who could ask for more? We've basically just got, we'll just write that down. We'll leave it in our recipe book and we'll just copy everything that he's been doing. Sounds wonderful. But yes, yeah, somebody's very fond of eggs. I like it. I do like a frittata. I do like that a lot. Yes. I thought this was just, it was a kind of matter of fact little stroll through breakfast, which I thought was wonderful. There was nothing that drew in the nose or, you know, upset you in any way. It was just a lovely ode to eggs. You could ask for more. And I thought it was wonderful. So I want more recipes, by the way, Matt, because I'll be through these very quickly. So thank you for sharing, Matt. It was wonderful.
Excellent comment, Weaver. And Naomi, what's your excellent comment?
Oh, good one.
good one. This was really neat. I really like this one, you know. It also, you know, if you take it metaphorically, which I always seem to do, of course it is about eggs. You know, the contest was about eggs. Okay, this is about eggs. But, you know, my mind just went there. You know, it does show how over life one changes. And, you know, our preferences change. We evolve. We like different things. We learn to the taste. Our taste evolves, and that can be taken metaphorically to different levels. But you know, this is such a great piece. I it made me so hungry, and I just love eggs. So the wonderful, wonderful piece here by Matt.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, what's up next?
So what we have next is The Evening Dance by Errant Panther. And Naomi, could you read this, please? Are you on mute?
Yes, I am. Boy, we all have that virus tonight. Okay. The Evening Dance by Errant Panther. Standing on the porch, I see the upright half moon glowing lemon yellow against the stark ashen sky, the street lights casting shadows through a thin veil of mist, further adding to the eeriness of the February night. This air is static. Not a breath of wind to rustle my hair, and the sporadic whining of engines of semi-trailers on their nightly run, the only thing to create a din. Wild rabbits scurry about, searching for tiny morsels that may be hidden amongst the reedy grasses of a nearby vacant paddock. Birds safely tucked in their nests, patiently waiting for the faintest glimpse of the coming dawn, so they may forage for seed. If you listen carefully, you can hear the calls of little toads by the creek, or maybe even the gentle hum of a fruit bat's wings as it flies overhead. Then, suddenly, the mist begins to rise in perfect sync with the morning sun. Thus, the evening dance is now over. A new adventure shall begin. End poem.
Beautiful read,
Hello?
Naomi. Beautiful read, Naomi. And I like the poem. You know, it's very visceral and engaging throughout. I mean, it really carries your attention through to the end. Standing on the porch, I see the upright half moon glowing lemon yellow against the stark ashen sky. I mean, that's just beautiful right there. And then streetlights coating shadows through a thin veil of mist, further adding to the eeriness of this February night. I mean, you know, it's so engaging. It really pulls you through. the scene, and then wild rabbits scurry about searching for tiny morsels that may be hidden amongst the reedy grasses of that nearby vacant paddock. And if you listen carefully, you can hear the calls of little toad by the creek, or maybe even the gentle hum of a fruit bat's wings as it flies overhead. I mean, I don't like hearing bats as they fly overhead. Personally, it's not one of my favorite things, because I've seen them tangled in people's hair and, you know, have to be cut out. So I have long hair, and I just never want that. So that one kind of hit me in a different way. But no, it was a lovely write, Errant Panther, and thank you for sharing. Weaver, what did you think? Are you on mute, Weaver?
Oh, my goodness. I've caught it now. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. Sorry. And I was being so lyrical. Oh, you missed the whole lot. I'm just after going to be boring now because I've forgotten what I said. I'm lying. I said nothing. Okay. This was... I hate being on mute when I don't expect to be. It's so annoying. Yes. This, as I was saying, as I said before, this is... I've forgotten what I said. God. Damn it. This was a very sweet, very calm, very neat piece of poetry, which is all wonderful because we were dealing with what was a very quiet evening in February. And everything that was happening has been noted, which I thought was just so clever. I particularly like, though, the streetlights casting shadows through a thin veil of mist, further adding to the eeriness of this February night. Creepy, especially when you hear the bats. Very creepy. Bats. Great, brats, watch out, there's bats. Yes, I thought it was just very, very, very sweet. I just thought it was lovely. And frogs, the sound of little frogs. Oh, that is lovely as well. So yes, altogether she brought a particular evening to life for us, and let us enjoy all that was going on until the sun came up. So thank you so much for sharing. That was wonderful.
Beautiful comment, Weaver. And Naomi, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Stunning, stunning imagery throughout this, you know, and it creates a whole atmosphere, which, you know, nature poems don't always do that, but this one, it really, you really creates, you know, the whole feeling that envelopes us as if we're really there, you know. And I just loved that last. Of course, I loved the imagery throughout, which a lot of that you already cited there, a lot of lines that I really liked. But, you know, the last stanza is really amazing, the way he finishes it out too. But like I said, you know, he really created such a great imagery here, atmosphere and feeling, so that brought forth emotion. So beautifully, beautifully done.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And we, what's up next?
And next we have My Ukrainian Aunt by Doll in the Cupboard. And I shall read this one. So, yes, just opening up. My Ukrainian Aunt. My Aunt Olga, she's divine. She has a brain like a maestro on wheels. No one is their age in real terms. We're all as young as Fred Astaire, with our rusty dancing shoes. I had a pair for flamenco once. Flamenco? Yeah. I'm going to gather up my flock of springy sheep. They're not starving yet, but extra hay I must find. For England's green hills weep through lack of raindrops. I sit on a London beach and weep for loving our world. Yes, I do. I sob as I pray. Like little Bo Peep without her sheep, I will fetch, carry, and borrow hay on account if I may. For northern hills nearby my new shack, in dusty dark woods I sat last week, holds more green grasses for sheep to munch. I once had carted hay for miles. In an old wagon I spruced up like a glitzy tart. Went all over the UK in my wagon, pulled horses on top to posh spots, where I galloped over a fine few white horses' bales down by Wiltshire. my hands cut holding bloody stains from horses' wounds, just a scratch in a haystack. Back to this joint. Dear sweet Olga, queen of my father's art palace, to England you must come, my lady. Your time is to dine with my country people, sip sweet red wine with hamburgers online. We even got an extra tent in the shed, pure goat hair produced. It was hitched from a belly dancing bandstand over Morocco shores. There's no spring in any venomous snake that will stop me pulling you out of death from serpents. Over the iron wall, the curtain ready to close, but mine is open. Then we'll dance Ukrainian jigs to celebrate. Hurry up, Grandma, get your wheels oiled. You're coming like it or lump it. My country people have Ukrainian flags. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I like the poem. You know, it's very descriptive and engaging. I really like the opening. My Aunt Olga, she's divine. She has a brain like a maestro on wheels. No one is their age in real terms. We're all as young as Fred Astaire with our rusty dancing shoes. I had a pair for Flamingo once. And then he goes on to describe his flock and his farm. And like little Bo Peep without her sheep, I will fetch, carry, and borrow hay on account, if I may. For the northern hills near my shack, in dusty woods dark I sat last week, holds more green grasses for sheep to munch. Once I had carted hay for miles in an old wagon I spruced up like a glitzy tart. Just a beautiful poem. Excellent imagery and fantastic intent. And what did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, what a great, poem on, an homage to the Ukrainian people. And, it has everything in here, it has just like delightful descriptions and, happy-go-lucky in the beginning, but when you get that to the end there, it becomes more serious where you say that will, there's no spring in any venomous snake that will stop me pulling you out of depths from serpents over the iron wall, the curtains ready to close, but mine is open. Then we'll dance Ukrainian jigs to celebrate. Hurry up, Grandma. Get your wheels oiled. My country people have Ukrainian flags. I think that's just a hats off to watch out, Russia, because, we're standing strong there. And, but what a wonderful ride all through this is. Amazing. Doll in the cupboard. So great, great write.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I would echo everything you've already said. I mean, this is lovely. I just loved her, the idea of her gathering up her flock of springy sheep. I thought that was just, that's a lovely. I can see her in one of those little shepherd's dresses with a crook. I don't know why, but that just came to my mind. And it was just such a sweet thought. They're not starving yet, but extra hay I must find. For England's green hills weep through lack of raindrops. So that's unusual for England. I just thought it was lovely. I thought it came from, I've got my sheep, but I've not got enough food for them. Her hands get cut and sore from cutting hay down and putting it away. But then she remembers her grandma and how much she wants her over to this country to keep her safe. So I thought that was absolutely lovely. I thought it covered the whole plethora of what was going on in this particular life at that particular point. So I thought it was great. Thank you for sharing so much.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. Okay, so what's up next, Weaver?
And we have A Primal Soul by Pedro Diaz. And so, Greg, could you read this, please?
Sure. A Primal Soul by Pedro Diaz. The clock roars in awe, waiting to hear the rumble of screams, shouts of pain flying in through the night. Holding a thirsty knife, eager to drink, I'm primal, covered in colloquial rage, is entangled, ingrained in my spirit. The instructions pour, crying off the skeletal dome, and I glow with carnal fury while bathing in blood. My time will come, where I raise from the dead like a mythical bird, floating through airs, seeking a meal, the flesh of the living, to satisfy my needs. The thirst will quench while my lips drip red, my veins run in acid. I'm not human, just dead, but very alive, while hunting the prey. Chaos and killing I'll bring upon earth. The clock roars in awe. The time has arrived. This moment I have foreseen for centuries. Now many souls, bowing to the ghosts, looking for a ghost, an appearance. I, a ravishing ghoul, end poem. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Whoa. Well, this is my kind of poetry. Not an awful lot left to imagination. This is one, as he says, primal soul. Every stanza is just basically gets you by the throat and makes you listen. My time will come where I raise from the dead like a mythical lord, floating through airs, seeking a meal, the flesh of the living to satisfy my needs. Well, he's not a vampire, then. He's a butcher or a ghoul. Anyway, so fooled me there. But yes, I thought this was really, really interesting. I love the sheer, sharp nastiness that comes through this, which I really enjoy. The thirst will quench while my lips drip red. My veins run in acid. I'm not human, just dead. Ah, yes, I think that was... I'm going to read this one again later on because I think it really is an incredible piece of work. And I wouldn't like to come anywhere near that primal soul. He sounds dangerous. Thank you for sharing that with us, Pedro.
Absolutely. And thank you, Weaver, for that great comment. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I loved it. Something out of fantasy, something out of this dark world. Excellent dark right here. The descriptions are so well, like Weaver said, they're so well well stated throughout this poem. It's really, really, a powerful writing, so well done. Well, bravo, Pedro Diaz.
Thank you, Weaver. That was a great comment. And yes, I liked it. Dark rites definitely have their place, and this definitely has its place in the dark rites. It's fantastic, with the imagery. The clock roars in awe, waiting to hear the rumble of screams, shouts of pain flying through the night, holding a thirsty knife, eager to drink. I'm primal, covered in colloquial rage, is engaged in the spirit. The instincts pour up, prying off the skeletal dome, and I glow with carnal fury while bathing in blood. And then it just keeps going right through to the very end. A clock roars in awe, the time has arrived, this moment I've foreseen for centuries now. Many souls bowing to the ghost, looking form, a ghost in appearance. I, a ravishing ghoul. Ooh, spooky. Beautiful, right? And excellent to read. Thank you, Pedro. Okay, Weaver, what do we have now?
Next we have The Tower of Silence by Kolop. Now, Lou, you asked me to read this, so I'll just get this one going. So this is The Tower of Silence by Kolop. This body, once a shelter, battered by hands that should have protected her, once was a flower, petals crisp and pert, became a temple, pliable under devotees' fingers. Did they even light an incense or two for her before they venerated it in an orgiastic frenzy? Now it is laid out, worn and bare, her corpse and offering, on Docma wood slats, exposed to the sun, food to birds of prey, vultures making a raspy, drawn-out hissing sound, grunting that of hungry pigs heard from a distance. As what is left of her, pieces of flesh drop, flop onto the ground. As man will be out of her, will be out of reach for her. End poem. Oh,
excellent read, Weaver. And I like it. You know, it's dark. You know, it's fantastic in its imagery. You know, you can see all this as she speaks it. This body, once a shelter battered by hands that should have protected her, once was a flower, petals crisp and pert, became a temple pliable under devotee's fingers. And then drawn out hissing sound, gruntings of hungry pigs heard from a distance. As what is left of her, pieces of flesh drop, flop onto the ground. As man will cut, will be out of reach for her. Just a haunting, right? As man is the sky, is their sky or God, according to the guide in Bombay. Hauntingly engaging, deeply powerful. What did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, you know, I was just reading the AN, and this is amazing, you know, that some of these, this religion here in the world believes, and this is their way that they, you know, deal with the, with their dead, you know. This is the ritual, like the funeral, like, you know, how they say bye, goodbye, I guess, to their loved ones. Wow. you know, just amazing, amazing to know this. I, you know, this really leaves me speechless, I think, a bit. Wow, a powerful piece here by Colap.
Fantastic comment, Naomi. And Weaver, what did you think?
Well, this is a religion I hadn't ever heard of, but I mean there are many. There are many, many ways that people say goodbye or dispose of or put their people to rest, and this is just another oddity that goes along with an awful lot of them. I can't imagine. I mean, they allow the flesh to be eaten, but it can't touch the ground or it won't reach the heaven. Asman. Well, you know, we all have our ways of thinking through things, and there's no stranger things than people. We will always find a reason to do what we're doing or justify or feel comfortable with it. You know, that's just one I hadn't heard of. It's really interesting what you can learn when you're not expecting to. So that's a fascinating, fascinating piece of work. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Colap.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Okay, so what do we have next, Weaver?
Next we have Emily by C. Francis Higgins. Naomi, would you like to read this, my dear?
Yes, of course. Emily, this is the chorus of cicadas amid dark, sweltering alcoves, crowding broken windows and laughing with lilacs, spitfully calling at every glance and from every empty door. This is the wrought world, wrangling and the limits of empty urban courtyards, of disintegrating gardens, the hand hesitant bird songs, a sigh crashing elevated trains. This is your final form among broken plastic records and old boxes of Chinese food, while the city struggles against encroaching dust and your dancing image. This is the moment between tracks when tattered curtains freeze and wait, and the blood flows in my veins, waiting for your next barefoot step on this forgotten expanse. Faceless and oblique, you are lost to me, moving between mirrors and fractured sunlight, while crackling sound gives way to a different music and poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And, you know, that's a powerful poem. It's really captures your imagination. You know, with this is the chorus of cicadas amid dark, sweltering alcoves, crowding broken windows and lapping with lilacs, spitefully calling at every glance from every empty corridor. You know, how haunting is that? And then, you know, this is the moment between the tracks when tattered curtains freeze and wait, and the blood slows in my veins, waiting for your next barefoot footstep on this forgotten expanse. Just amazing imagery here. Faceless and oblique, you are lost to me, moving between mirrors and fractured sunlight, while crackling sound gives way to a different music. Just a beautiful, engaging poem. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree totally. This is incredibly interesting. The chorus of cicadas, and amid dark, sweltering alcoves. They have got that amazing sound, don't they? That just seems to go on and on. And it seems to have the same beat. You know, you could actually probably play music to it. It's like a metronome, you know, very, very interesting. But this is lovely. This is the wrought world, wrangling and the limits of empty urban courtyards, of disintegrating gardens and hesitant birdsong, aside crashing elevated strains. That is a cacophony, isn't it? It's a weird world to live in. And then we have that last stanza. Faceless and oblique, you are lost to me, moving between mirrors and fractured sunlight, while crackling sound gives way to a different music. Now, I like that a lot. I think that's very, very deep. You are lost to me, moving between mirrors. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think this is very interesting, very well written, and great word choice. And you can see how this world would be so hard to live in because of the all this going on around you. But yes, very well done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Francis. See you, Francis.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Naomi, you read it. What did you think?
Yeah, well, you know, I was kind of leaning towards, you know, love lost in this poem. And, you know, I was reading down in the comments and that kind of, you know, there's a comment from C. Francis Higgins himself says that the last lines have something to do with ephemeral moments between youthful lovers. You know, I think those moments when you're there and you're, you know, I think the whole thing is like kind of a metaphor for when you're waiting for that person that isn't coming anymore. And, you know, just beautifully done. Oh, my gracious, you know, the extended metaphor here for those moments that just when you're beside the track, when you're not on course anymore, when you're in that kind of that absolute desolation there that happens, you know, such an emotive piece throughout. Amazingly well written.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Okay, Weaver, what's up next?
Next we have Tuppence Tone by Bardleek Back. Gray, would you like to read this, please?
I'm just checking to see if he has a SoundCloud. He usually does, but not today. Okay. All right, I will read this. I hope I can do it justice. Charmed orbs, sweet connection, circumstance, sky twisters, wings of flame, no mention of our name. We steal countered heartbeats, twilight dancing, absence call. Stardust obscured by cloud and storm, no nickel spilt, swift flight, soft face, how they fall. Trickle or spite, bleeding thought, a beat. We vanish quickly as they come. pure without trace or treat, nonsense muster. We quantum tusk and tail, lure of dusk, selfless spin, mischief or brave intention, phantom glance, heart of pity, trance embrace, perpendicular, swell on mountain ocean, silence luster. I know of secular magic, time and place, worlds this small that barely yawn, secret springs, ventricular sails, fiery rills on dust-blown trails. None such pass these goblin stones. Brilliance, ball, puff of blossom, starry cluster, misty dales, lion's whisper, angels weeping, where to the faithful gather, mad dogs and tigers leaping, far below the canyons crawl, giants whimper, green hills so far away, ever blue, breath upending, skies unborn, uplifting thunder, tear me from your feet asunder, singularity of voice, whirling fame, tuppence torn, through the roaring waters plunder, through silky sapphire spray, defiance temper, to our maker make no mention, defrayed by our mansion sway, loveliest of all, just once forever, the circumstance, tuppence torn, end poem. Wow, that was a fantastic write. You know, he's got talent, there's no doubt. Each stanza holds its own, you know, its own little story, and it's a piece of the puzzle. It fits magically. And then, but I really like, through the roaring waters plunder, through the silky sapphire spray, defiance temper, to our maker make no mention, deferred by our mansion sway, loveliest of all, just once forever. Wow, powerful poem. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, very. I mean, that just takes your breath away, doesn't it? Green hills so far away, ever blue, breath upending, skies unborn, uplifting thunder, tear me from your feet asunder, singularity of voice, whirl and fame, tuppence torn. Well, and the fact that we have a picture by Arthur Rackham. I think it absolutely, I mean, I collect a lot of his work. I buy old books for the illustrations because I just love the illustrators. And he's one of my favorites. The same as Mabel Lucy Atwell. I've got a very, very old 1896, I think it is, book on cookery, and she has done the illustrations for it. So it's just fabulous. So I like the fact that he's got that beautiful picture to work with, because that's so whimsical, isn't it? And yet you can see that they're each of them trying very hard to stay where they're supposed to be, but they're on the clouds and they're on their way out, I think. Oh, just lovely. I just thought it was so beautifully written. And so thank you very much for sharing that with us. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Beautiful on comment, mute. Weaver. Yeah, beautiful comment, Weaver. What did you think, Naomi?
You know, Weaver, you know, you have to email me the name of that artist of that picture, please, because our send, not email by me, but I mean, send me it in a private message, because I love that, his art there. I'm going to use that for a contest. But, you know, this poem just dances on the page. It has such beautiful movement throughout. You know, it is a fairy dance. That's, you know, exactly what it is. You know, puff of blossom, starry cluster, misty dales, lion's whisper, angels weeping, where to the faithful gather, mad dogs and tigers leaping, far below the canyons crawl, giants whimper. You know, it just, you know, every stanza, you like you said, the gray can stand by itself as an amazing little brevity. This is just absolutely stunning work here. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. That was a beautiful comment. And Weaver, what do we have next?
just a little aside, if I could, the name of that artist is at the bottom of that piece of poetry, Naomi. He's written the name of the artist down there, so you'll be able to copy it. It's Arthur Rackham. And so, yes, next we have Castaway.
Okay, thank you.
That's okay, no problem. His work is absolutely beautiful. You'll love it. Castaway by Boodoo. And I will read this one because I haven't done anything for ages, being so lazy. Castaway, beautiful picture. Sifting through star charts on retinal display, Larkin shakes her head in disbelief. By the last coordinate mapping, she should be approaching Proximal's Alpha's welcome grid, the vector landing beacon pinging off, giving directional course guidance. Judging the distance of the nearest star via Aximuth triangulation, she was about 1.5 parsecs off. Of course, that was the BGM reading of what she jokingly renamed the best guess method. She wondered about the old ways of navigation by sextant centuries back and chuckled to herself. Maybe a 3D version equipped with Hellfire navigation and nanosync suppression technology would be more appropriate. Charge the ship's distress beacon. Just before finishing the hyperjump, multiple warning failures blared along with the blinking LEDs lighting up her panel, dictating numerous systems acting up that required immediate attention. She was able to troubleshoot the main and life support indices and brought them back online, but couldn't reconfigure for a correctional jump to her destination. Slumped in cockpit chair, a troubled mind drifting back to her last break on Artana 7 with Ariel and her pet Tamara. The orange sand beaches under a double moon soaked quite a few romantic interludes. The dreamy sequence dissolved instantly with a new warning bell. Subspace radar picked up incoming, closing at a fast clip. Larkin activated the defense perimeter, now running at 75%. Better than nothing, she quipped. She launched several hailing calls on multiple frequencies. No response. And then her transponder came alive with loud, harsh squawk of unknown origin. The translator automatically cut on, digesting the incoming feed. You are trespassing into secured territory. Defense perimeter pings a launch from uncraft, picking up subatomic particle trail and infrared propulsion residue. Calculated trajectory and impact in 30 clicks. Larkin invoked primary countermeasures, placing the ship at full attention. 20 clicks. 10. DPM chaff deployed. 5. No effect. Projectile en route. 3. 2. 1. Mark. Silence. Larkin opens her eyes, brow full of sweat, and eases her grip on the armchair handles. And then it happens. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And, you know, that felt like I was watching a show, you know, and he has amazing talent for his screenplay, you know, like you can see all this as you read through it, and it is so powerfully engaging. It felt like I was watching a show. Defense perimeter pings a launch from unknown craft, picking up subatomic particle trail and infrared propulsion residue, calculated trajectory, an impact in 30 clicks. Wow. Just a fascinating, right? Very engaging. You know, like I said, it was like watching a movie or a show. You know, it's definitely one wild ride that this person went on as a castaway. So just excellent, right? Excellent imagery and powerfully engaging. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. That's the kind of thing I love. And I do apologize for stumbling a couple of times. My apologies. There's quite a lot of wordage in there. But yes, I loved the technical terms. I loved the fact that this was a female operative who was definitely on the ball, knew what she was doing, but not able to do very much because it looks like she's in trouble. Yes. I just loved the whole thing. I just love the way it just kept you gripped and going and da-da-da-da-da, want to see what's happening next. You know, you think she's okay, and she thinks she's, everything's okay, and then nothing. Very good. I want to know what happened next. Although probably she died, so maybe we don't want to know what happens next. Very clever. Really, I just, as I say, I love all the technical terms, which sounded, you know, we know there's nobody up there in space floating about, but it sounded so real and so convincing that I just thought it was wonderful. And I want to read more. Thank you, Badu. It was wonderful.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah. This belongs in a sci-fi movie or a sci-fi book for sure. It made him not an awesome, you know, awesome suspense, you know, but, you know, I'm kind of mad that he ends it with, and then it happens, like, what? What happened?
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like you said, Gray, it's so engaging. And like you said, Weaver, you know, the terminology in here is just incredible. You know, it makes it really, really so real, you know, so not relatable, but so believable, you know. Made the whole write just so accurate and believable, like I said. So wonderful writing here by Budo.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you for that beautiful comment. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
Okay, you'll just have to bear with me a moment because we're past the hour and we're now going down to open poetry. So if you give me a moment, I'll whiz down there, the speed of knots. And we have, I think this has, it's got a reader, it needs a reader. I thought it was a sound card. So we have open poetry by Lawrence 6-7. So, Gray, could you read this, please? I'm afraid I'm losing my voice.
Absolutely. Open poetry by Lawrence 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Elfie. Nigel. Excuse me, hello. Liu, can I help you? Yes, we have been sitting here waiting for our order for almost 30 minutes. Can you check and see what the holdup is? Liu. Your order? Yes, I ordered... Nigel, yes, I ordered a festive nightingale sautéed in a pomegranate sauce, medium rare to medium, with a slight crust. And Elfie, what did you have? Elfie, I wanted the slab of dove. Nigel, so what's the holdup? Do you? Excuse me, but we don't serve nightingales or doves. Here we do poetry. Nigel, look, lady, we have money. We're not beggars. So can you bring us our open poultry dishes? Pronto. Chop, chop. Liu. Open poultry? This is open poetry. We don't do chickens and birds here. Nigel. Open poetry. Who the hell wants to eat poetry? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Why would you open an establishment for eating poetry? That makes no sense. Let's go, Elfie. They don't know what they're doing here, serving open poetry. Jeez Louise. And poem. Well, it says, written for the radio show and host Liu, who we hear has a great sense of humor, LOL. And that was great. I liked it. You know, I liked the stage play and the presentation. You know, it was definitely engaging. You know, you could sit in here and watch. It was like watching a scene in a restaurant as this all went on, and which is a powerful thing to do, to transport the reader to the place where, you know, you're trying to write about. So beautifully done, Lawrence 67. Okay, Weaver, what did you think?
The Adventures of Nigel, the Fat Cat, and His Homie Alfie. Brilliant. I loved it. And Louie's going to love it. I hope she gets a chance to read this one. Oh, my goodness. That was so clever. It took me a while because I'm listening. I'm thinking, why are they asking for, what are they, doves, nightingales, what's going on? And then, of course, it clicks, poetry and poetry, that woman, just so perfect. Keep our open poetry dishes pronto, chop, chop. And it was lovely. It was sprightly. It was funny. It was very clever. And I liked it a lot. Thank you so much. You made me laugh, which is a great thing. Thank you, Lawrence.
Yeah, it's always great when we can laugh, for sure. Nomo, what did you think?
I just imagine just serving nightingales or doves to Luyu. Oh, my gracious. That wouldn't go by very, very well. But, you know, I just love his, you know, this play on words with open poultry and open poetry. You know, just amazing, very cleverly done, and you know, I was giggling throughout the whole piece, so of course, you know, I thought it was hilarious, so amazingly, amazingly well done.
Beautiful comment, Naomi, thank you. Okay, what do we have next, Weaver?
Okay, next we have, we'll have something in a minute. I'm sure we will. About to happen. I thought I had it.
You
up.
Can
oh my
do God. It. You can do it, Kate.
Thank you.
Go
I can cock it up. I can certainly do that. Oh, my goodness. My mind gets caught up in other things. Yeah, I've only got one thing to do. You think I can do it properly? Ah, dear, dear, dear. Here we are. Okay. I'll just... Please just whistle amongst yourselves. I'll be with you in a moment. Oh, dear. It's old age. I've told you, it's old age. Nothing I can do about it. My brain's draining. All right, here we have.
It's all that open poultry.
I'm trying to put the feathers out of my teeth. That's what's wrong. Where Diamond grows.
And kind of stabbing Omo.
Oh, my goodness me, don't we have fun? I tried to be serious, but, you know, we're not kidding anybody here. I couldn't be serious if you paid me. Right, here we are. Where darkness grows by Arcana. And I think he has a sound cloud, does he? Yes, sound
he does,
cloud
yes.
included. Thank you so much.
Blackened seas of stormy clouds that cloak the skies within their shrouds, as midnight falls in twilight pools, unto sleeping spirits the nighttime calls. Black as the raven, black as coal, in banter black streams that swim your soul, drowning the light within their pitch, dragged into depths of a darkened ditch. Through obsidian veils are haunting tales that gust through minds in ebony gales. They descend at night, by pale moonlight, in deep dark thoughts that blind all sight. Black as obsidian, black as a widow, that wade through dreams upon each pillow, invading the nightmares of fallen hopes, in sliding descent down slippery slopes. From sinister deeds the heart recedes, that grow from seeds of shady needs. Though night is dark, so cold and stark, it waits to hark the dawn's remark. Black as black holes that swirl in space, swallowing stars to devour their grace. Black as oblivion, blacker than crows that dwell in the shadows where darkness grows.
Wow, what a SoundCloud, eh? That was magical. He really puts on an amazing performance with his reeds and his rites. But in blackened seas of stormy clouds that cloak skies within their shrouds, as midnight falls with twilight palls onto sleeping spirits, the nighttime calls.
Wow.
If that doesn't pull you in, I don't know what would. And then through obsidian veils of haunting tales that gust through minds in ebony gales, they descend at night by pale moonlight in deep dark thoughts that blind all sight. Wow. Just an amazing write. And I really love the way he finished it with black as black holes that swirl in space, swallowing stars to devour their grace. Black as oblivion, blacker than crows that dwell in the shadows where darkness grows. Wow. Amazing, amazing write, Arcana. And the read was just impeccable. So just a fantastic job. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, it's got to be said, masterful is the word for it. Himself and Stelina are doing such a wonderful job. They've taken all of their ability and given us the kind of things they're giving us on a daily basis. So professional, so interesting. This one was written, this was a poem to be inspired by the color black in any form or style. Well, he certainly did that, didn't he? Perfectly. I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. Stanza is wonderful. But, you know, you have to think, in blackened seas of stormy clouds that cloak the skies within their shrouds, as midnight falls, twilight falls, unto sleeping spirits, the nighttime calls. Well, I'll be sleeping with a lamp on tonight. No, I'm sleeping anyway, but, oh, wonderful. Really, really so clever. Yeah, thank you again, Arcana. I do love your work.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Weaver. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, you know, this is outstanding. I'm an amazing fan of, you know, what they do to Arcana and Stelina with their dark pieces. Just amazing. You know, every stanza, you could recite every stanza here. And, you know, the rhythm of it, you know, the rhythm and rhyme seems so effortless. You know, but, you know, it must have taken a lot of work. I don't know, but, you know, to get, you know, the rhyme just so perfect and the meter just so, you know, perfect as well. It must have been, amazing, a lot of work. I don't know. Maybe they just have that talent, but just amazing flow. Amazing, amazing right here. Bravo.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
We have the very person we need on the other end of this line for this particular piece of poetry. This is Driving Away by our very own, our very dear Naomi. Naomi, could you read this, please?
Okay, well, this isn't the one I put up, but I changed it so many times, but this is okay. Okay, this is Driving Away. Driving away from you. Top down, radio blasting, country roads take me home. But it's all wrong, 'cause it's not the place I belong. I pull over to the curb, text you, I already miss you. Wait, wait, then wait some more. Glaring into my cell phone, Long minutes stretch on forever into silence. A crow dances back and forth on a telephone line. Caw, caw. Stupid girl, stupid girl. I push the car into gear, slam the pedal to the floor, stare at my hands gripping the wheel and my dumb fingers that typed in that text. Watch the crow take off flying. Watch him till he disappears. Wishing my heart could do the same. Just a sad girl sitting in an old car, thinking of a boy, of you, and you some more. While my tires grind the extra mile that take me away on country roads, home to a place where you don't exist, where I know you never will. Stupid girl, end poem.
Well, beautiful read, Naomi. And that's such a touching poem, you know. You can picture, like, just the title, Driving Away, takes you to a spot where you're, where you know you're leaving something that's dear to you. And going into that unknown alone. And, you know, country roads take me home, but it's all wrong because it's not the place I belong. I pull over to the curb, text you, already miss you. Wait, wait, and then wait some more. Glaring into my cell phone, long minutes stretch on forever in silence. A crow dances back and forth on the telephone line. Caw, caw, stupid girl, stupid girl. And then, you know, you you carry on and you go to that place where that person isn't and will never be. So that's very haunting and deeply penned. I really enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you so much for sharing, Naomi. Beautiful job.
Thank you, Gray.
Weaver. Absolutely. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, Naomi, this was lovely. I'm singing away to myself while you're reading. Country roads take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama.
Take me home.
That it just really made that come to life for me. I wish you had been able to sing it. It would have been wonderful. Yes, I thought it was lovely. I mean, I can imagine, I know I've been in that position where you send a text after you've been angry and you think, I'll be the bigger person, I'll make the first move, and they don't answer you. What the flipping cheek. Yes, so I know exactly how you felt. It's awful, it's awful. It's like a slap in the face when people don't bother to answer. I don't like that. So anyway, yes, I think you've written this beautifully. You've given us all the feelings the poor girl would have had. Yeah, I thought it was lovely. Thank you so much. And thank you for allowing me to have a little sing-song. I enjoyed that. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I still do it. I don't know why.
Oh, that was beautiful.
No, I wish I could. My daughter sings beautifully, but I've got a terrible voice. I know there's notes and tunes there everywhere, but I just seem to miss them. But it's good fun. Yes, thank you so much. That's brightened up my day. Have that song in my head as well as your beautiful writing. So thank you so much. And it was a wonderful read.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
Well, this is actually, well, I write a lot from experience. So this actually happened to me a couple of years back, maybe 6 or 7 years back, when I would go to this cottage to meet up with this guy. And yeah, and, you know, it was, I think this was the last time I went, and, you know, I knew I was in love with him, but he wasn't, and, yeah, it was just like a one-way thing, and, you know, I knew there, you know, I was texting him, and no response as usual, and this was one of the last times I went there, so, yeah, it was like a separation, but we're still friends. So all's good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's very cathartic to write these things down, I think, sometimes, you know, to help you move through it and past it, you know. That's my opinion anyway. So I think that's why a lot of people write, is because of the cathartic nature that it has, to express yourself and expose yourself and share that with the world. So that, you know, others know they're not alone in these moments, and that others, you know, go through this too, and that, that, you know, they're definitely not alone in their experiences
you know, there are others that have experienced it and, you know, can help get through it knowing that others are there with them. So a beautiful job. Thank you for sharing, Naomi.
No problem.
I appreciate you. All right, what do we have next?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just before we go on, yes, I agree with you. It's wonderful, great that people can bare their souls and get these things out. I found myself, like I imagine Naomi has, that you suddenly come out with things that you didn't actually mean to say or share, but because people are feeling the same, it's a safe place to say, well, yes, that was like that, and no, it wasn't like that. So I thought that was wonderful. I like that aspect of all poetry. It's just great. And late night poets, obviously. So now we have True Love's Rose by Darkened Aura. Now, we've not already had this, have we? No, we haven't. So no. I shall read this. I shall read this one once I get it up. True Love's Rose. Oh, poor cold rose. Right. A dying rose lays upon her grave, frozen like the love he'll save. Since her passing, he's been alone, lonely and chilled right to the bone. When she died, he was filled with guilt. He got to thrive, but she had to wilt. In a whispered breath, her final wish arose. Please plant upon me true love's rose. So every year, as springtime nears, he leaves her a rose dripped with his tears. And through the summer's blazing sun, and as the autumn makes its run, the roses never burn to a crisp, or on wind blows, or turn brittle, breaking from winter snow. They work their way into the ground to comfort a spirit whose sleeping sound. End poem.
Wow, that's such a beautiful poem. Very tragic, but beautiful at the same time. You did a wonderful read on it, Weaver. But a dying rose lays upon her grave, frozen like the love he'll save. Since her passing, he's been alone, lonely, and chilled right to the bone. You know, you can feel that chill, that emptiness, that aloneness that, you know, one feels when they lose the love of their life. And when she died, he was filled with guilt. He got to thrive while she had to wilt. In a whispered breath, her final wish arose. Please plant upon me true love's rose. Yeah, just beautiful, beautiful thoughts and sentiment in this, right? You know, you can picture this as you read through it. And it's very heart-wrenching, but beautiful at the same time. And so thank you for sharing that, Darkened Auras, and wonderfully read, Weaver. Okay, what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, how sad. I mean, we know the sadness in the world, don't we? We are aware of that. You're up one moment, the next moment you're flattened because of life. And I can't imagine anything worse than seeing someone you love. Well, I have seen it, so I know how bad it is. Someone you love not getting any better. It's heartbreaking. You want to give them all you can, and you can give them nothing, really, except your love and your time. So I suppose that would be most appreciated anyway, to know that someone cares about you. So I thought this really touches me a great deal. It's a very sad situation and a very sad thing to happen to anybody. It shouldn't happen, but it does. It does, we know. We need to be strong, but it's never easy to be that strong, is it? Thank you for sharing.
Wonderful comment. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is amazing. You know, it's rare that a rhyming poem will touch me so deeply, but this really does. The sentiments, the emotion just pours out of this, right? That last stanza, the roses never burn to a crisp, or on winds blow, or turn brittle, breaking from winter snow. They work their way into the ground to comfort a spirit whose sleeping sound. That is just amazing. But I know all through, it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece by Darkened Auras here. Wow. Amazing. Bravo, Dark Adoris.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, Weaver, where to next?
Next we have Trading Sugar, Sussy at Brooklyn Domino Sugar Refinery by S. Sharp. And this has a SoundCloud Gray.
Alrighty, I'll get to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Trading Sugar, Subtlety at Brooklyn's Domino Sugar Refinery. Walls ooze raw cane. Smells of the dank sensuality of forced servitude waft through Brooklyn's Domino Sugar Refinery. People snap pictures, sweet, sometimes improper pictures, taking her from behind, unwilling, but exposed like generations of unpaid servants who carried the raw cane. Kara Walker's giant sphinx, Subtlety, breasts and nipples exposed, are milked for public pleasure, her rear end propped up and ready, open for business at the close of another, coated in sugar, in history, raw, unrefined molasses, sticky and sweet upon the floor. Sugarcane statues melt, degrade, while over the site, little boys and skivvies caned in their time, art in ours. Each lead to the marvelous sugar baby, the sphinx, or something so sweet, sours in the stomachs of so many.
Wow, amazing SoundCloud, and his read was passionate. You know, you could feel his passion in his reading. And it says in the bottom author's notes, it says, Kara Walker, a subtlety at Domino Sugar Factory. Brooklyn is a 35-foot tall styrofoam statue coated in refined sugar, first displayed in the then closing Domino Sugar Refinery, displaying a nude mammy posed like a sphinx. The title subtly speaks to the history of forced servitudes of blacks in the sugar trade of the 19th and 20th century. Wow. I was wondering where he was getting that Kara Walker's sphinx giant, or Kara Walker's giant sphinx, subtly breasts and nipples exposed are milked for public pleasure. Her rear end propped up and ready, open for business at the close of another, coated in sugar, in history, raw, unrefined molasses, sticky and sweet upon the floor. Yeah, so now I see where he got that imagery from. And, you know, it sounds like this was a terrible place, you know, with forced servitude. But, you know, people snap pictures, sweet. Sometimes improper pictures, taking her from behind, unwilling but exposed, like generations of unpaid servants who carried the raw cane. Yeah, such a sad and tragic history to that. But, you know, this is a wonderful write, and I thought he captured the essence of his prompt quite beautifully. Amazing job. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree. This is... This one hits you where it hurts, doesn't it? This is a very, very heavy. But the kind of thing we need to know of, the kind of thing we can't forget. How distasteful. Kara Walker's giant sphinx. Ugh. Ugh. Just horrible. So, yes, we need to know these things happen. I didn't even have any idea that kind of thing went on, that you'd have something like that for people to... You know, you could understand... Perhaps a picture of people carrying the, or a statue of people carrying the canes or something, that would be far preferable to this. So thank you very much for that piece of poetry, S Sharp, because it's something I was not aware of. Brooklyn's Domino's Sugar Refinery. Hopefully it's raised to the ground by now. But thank you. Wonderful write.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, he captured that, you know, that that statue amazingly well. And, you know, she's exposed. You know, they were exposed. They were beaten to a pulp. You know, they were driven to a pulp. They were, you know, the slavery, the black people. You know, this is a awesome piece of you know, history that we must never forget. You know, that slavery that went on, that was a horrible, horrible time. You know, these people are treated like animals. And, you know, I think, you know, the statue of, you know, this, the mammy, or, you know, exposed, you know, it's really, it had to be provoking. It had to be, you know, because it had to shake people. It had to shake people and make them realize, hey, you know, all this went on. And, and, you know, it had to really be something that brought attention and stopped people in their tracks. So that, you know, an art, you know, that does that is very powerful. And you need that kind of art, I think. So just, you know, amazing, amazing write. He captured that so, so wonderfully in those stanzas, you know, that you already cited, Gray. Amazing, amazing right here by Scott. So bravo.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. Sorry, Naomi, what's that great comment? Weaver, what do we have next?
Well, I've gone back up to the front page picks because we have no more open poetry. So we have I Am by Hat. So if you don't mind, I'll go read this one.
Okay.
Once I get it open. Come on, you heap of rubbish. I'm trading this in for a tin can and a long piece of string because it's just useless. Come on, open up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I hate technology.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it now. Got it. I am. Sorry, Hats, that was a bit of a delay. Right. A sunflower that offers enjoyment for the eyes. My brightness shined in the dark, same as the dawn. The juicy raspberries that shake on the bush in the breeze. I am the forest honey that she-bear with cubs are licking. I smell like grass. A herd of sheep roam on my slopes. And I'm the mountain peak that guards the heat of the valley, until the sunbeams ring on the bells of sheep. The pine tree gives you shade in the fatigue. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And that's a lovely poem. You know, it has amazing imagery and intent. You know, you can feel the intent of I am here for you. And, you know, so that's just a beautiful thought. I am juicy raspberries that shake on the bush in the breeze, and the forest honey that the she-bear with cubs are licking. You know, just amazing imagery there. What did you think, Naomi?
Getting off mute here. Yeah, I think, you know, you said it all there, Gray. You know, I am there for you. And, you know, the way she brought up all this, how, you know, just how nature is there for our picking, is there, you know, to serve such a purpose, you know, whether it be the raspberries, the sunflowers, you know, the mountain peaks, the valleys, the pine tree that gives you shade when you're tired. That's an awesome line to finish on. You know, just an awesome write, like Hats can, our Emily can do them. So Just brilliant, brilliant writing here.
Thank you, Naomi. Beautiful comment. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, definitely. This is a brightness about it that's so enjoyable. All the things that we love, all the things that you can be, I am a sunflower that offers enjoyment for the eyes. And then we have the eyes, and then we have the mouth, the juicy raspberries. And then we have the smell, like grass, which is a wonderful, freshly cut grass is the most invigorating smell I think there can be. It's just beautiful. And then we have the mountain peaks that are there to keep the heat from us, and the pine trees that we can rest under. I thought it was beautifully put together, a wonderful encapsulation of a perfect day, that you have all of these things there for you, because she is. I am. I liked it a lot. Thank you so much, Hats.
Beautiful comment, Weaver. So what do we have next?
Why don't you just call me Fred? It would be so much easier.
Yeah. We got the old man.
I love it. Oh, cool. No problem. I love it. I think it's so funny. I like to have a different name. So cool. So we have, I don't even know if I can say this properly, so please bear with me, View of Murnier by Xyloscopic Blues. And Naomi, would you care to read this for us, please?
Okay. I'm just going to finish swallowing here. Okay. View of Murno. Movement, reclining, standing, and lengthening. I stretched paper, took my brush in hand, and remarked, Jasper Mountains emerge amongst landscapes, restricted palette. Galvanized clouds shrill your dissonance of tremendous force, pages softened by hand-aged ivory, shales, essence, grasping daylight puzzles of hues, sandstone palms stammer where minds are born, puter ridges opening up exhaustive, bottomless crevices, oxygens, menacing slopes, opaque summits, marbled sky, shadows fostering night, flying westward chasing the sun and tomorrow, forbidden lay in winds sweeping drizzle until the evening of the following day. In heavy silence, timeless, here afar off, magnitude winging walls of turquoise dew, transparency, spirit of mind, face intensified, capacities air, pendulum, bulwark, midnight's monstery, washed, brilliance on external mediation, red within the violet, warm and cold, linen canvas back to yesterday, rising violet lines and edges converge, outer contour painting silent poetry, subtleties shy of the mountaintop, depicted objects rather than the illusion. Cornflower sunshine was not an outsider. Light emanated from within. Smoothness and shadow prob, galaxy granules and the essence of green instead of the three-dimensional artifice. Somber and black, smudged gypsy cheekbones, horizontal in mind for the two-dimensional truth. Vulture's exclusion of color, soundless of tones, artistic temperament, inclined, immobilized the two opposed movements, whose linear boundaries extend into depth, blue within the violet, forward and backward, blind. Pine trees creak and lumber off. Lime's interior poetry could be a speaking picture. Volume, this ranges, spatial, line, and poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And I liked it. You know, he really painted a picture with his words. He captured that the picture quite beautifully, and it was really stunning, you know, his wordage. Pages softened by hand-aged ivory, shale's essence grasping daylight's puzzle of hues. You know, when you're thinking of what you're going to paint with and what colors you're going to use, and then sandstone palms stammer where minds are born, pewter edges opening neat, open up exhaustive, bottomless crevices, oxygen, menacing slopes, opaque summits, marbled sky. Yeah, such a beautiful imagery in this poem, you know. And then linen canvas, back to yesterday, rising violet lines and edges, coverage, outer contour painting, silent poetry, subtleties shy of mountaintop, depicted objects rather than the illusion. Cornflower sunshine was not an outsider. And just a fantastic poem, beautifully written and well read, Naomi. What did you think, Weaver?
Well, firstly, very well read, Naomi. That was wonderful. I really enjoyed that. But obviously each stanza, I mean, there's three, each one three, sometimes five lines. Just beautiful. We have Jasper Mountain emerge amongst landscapes, restricted palette. Now there, that gives you, you know, that's what he's working with. He's working with this restricted palette for that landscape side of it. And galvanized clouds shrill your dissonance of tremendous force. Pages softened by hand-aged ivory. You see, that's again, that's a great way to build up your picture. So he's building and building and building on what he sees. And you've got to have a little bit of softness around the edges because you don't want that sharpness of the end of a brush just leaving a line. And it needs to be soft. It needs to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Blended in? Yes, blended in. So you have, it looks like it's always been there. And I do love a painting that lets you fly into it, which this one is doing. I'm getting a beep. Is that me? Am I offline? Hello?
I'm sorry, that was me. I had a call coming in. I apologize.
Oh, okay. That's all right. No problem. I thought I was offline. But anyway, yes. Beautiful, beautifully done. And thank you so much for sharing.
Excellent comment. Thank you. And Naomi, you read it. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. You know, I think he, you know, first of all, the formatting, you know, imitates, you know, the flow of the brush strokes, you know, back and forth. I really enjoyed the movement that's present in this poem. And, you know, I really liked Kate's comment there. Blue within the violet, forward and backward, blind. Pine trees creak and lumber off. But there was really one that I really liked, and I can't find it. The one with the gypsy. Anyway, there was one with a gypsy there with the black, like the smudged gypsy. Anyway.
Oh, yes. Down towards the bottom, I think
Yeah, a somber and black smudged gypsy cheekbones. Wow. You know, that was just, that really, that I found that was really beautiful, that metaphor there. But, you know, just amazingly well written throughout and so well done, you know, like sonic blues here, you know, tremendously talented writer. So amazing. Just amazing work.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you for commenting, Naomi. Okay, Weaver, where are we next?
Next we have Homeless Son by Layla. And I will give this a read. Homeless Son. Between the toilets and scaffolds of the climaxes, scavengers in sandals flushed a buzz cart in the middle of pig wash, a spider's web in its heart. They feed on the laundry of light. They feed on the headaches of loneliness. They feed on non-companions in anti-images, et symphonia, axes that smuggle honey into the lungs of the forgotten dragon. The torn vine, the tossed vine from the basement tapes, the restored symbol as in the design of its predecessor, of moon's blood-soaked, powdered, sick, poisoned parasites, bewildered Kafka, expelled from suitable doors. Homeless Son, I raise the torch they've disconnected from the electric meter. End poem.
Beautiful read on that, Weaver. And I really enjoyed the poem. You know, it was definitely engaging. You know, she has a talent for pulling you in and holding your attention. Between the toilets and scaffolds of the climaxes, scavengers in sandals flushed, a bastard in the middle of a pig wash, a spider web in its heart. I mean, just fascinating imagery in that first stanza. And then, you know, she ends it with, homeless son, I raise the torch, they've disconnected from the electric meter. Yeah, fantastic, right? And beautifully read, Weaver. So what did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I was reading down in the comments, and, you know, this is a plight talking about the homeless people. And, you know, I get that, you know, now that I read that comment, everything is just, the scavengers and sandals flushed, a bustard in the middle of a pig wash, a spider's web in its heart, they have the laundry of light, the headache of loneliness, the forgotten lungs of the forgotten dragon. You know, this is really, really, then her metaphors are just, you know, out of this world in this poem. And to call it homeless son, you know, that like you don't have your sun for yourself anymore, doesn't shine on you. You're cast apart in some way there. You know, that and that in itself is a metaphor. So, wow, way to go, Layla. Amazing writing.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, this was a read. It certainly was. I actually found myself, whilst I was reading it, hoping I wasn't going to stumble. But I didn't want to ruin it. That particular line of moon blood soaked, powdered, sick, poisoned, parasitized, which I couldn't even say at the time, bewildered Kafka, expelled from suitable doors. So that's just powerful stuff. Very, I love these words, just they're bombarding you. You can't ignore them. This is getting the point across, not just with a symbol, but with a great big torch as well. I love it. I thought it was very clever. It made me realize just how lucky some of us are. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, well, we've got 5 minutes left. What do you think? Can we squeeze another one in?
I think so, yes. I've got it all up here ready to go. Symbiotic by Fire Queen. Naomi, would you like to read the last one for us? On mute?
Yes, I'm on mute. There's, you know, spending time, wasting time. Okay, symbiotic. Howls glow, sorrows echo beneath the tundra moonlight, clamoring over stones grown by ancient ages and glaciers before this land was owned, trying to find a way home. Recital captures the sunlight, frozen steams melt, critters come unshelled, woken by water streaming, dew steaming, journeying to a place not quite promised, separate from her kind. Ravens share their plight as guidance, like minds trying to survive. End poem.
Beautifully read, Naomi. And I like the poem. You know, it's definitely got a tone of nature in it. And in her author's notes, she was thinking of red wolves, but I love this T-shirt I own. And, yeah, so just a beautiful poem. Howls glow, sorrows echo beneath the tundra moonlight, clambering over stones grown by ancient ages and glaciers. This before this land was owned, trying to find a way home, russet pelt captures the sunlight, frozen streams melt, critters came unshelled, woken by water streaming, dew streaming. Just amazing imagery throughout that poem. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, exactly what you think. I thought that was beautiful. It does. It just gives you that whole essence of a land that's strong, that's difficult, clambering over stones grown by ancient ages and glaciers. That's a land. And now it's owned. And, of course, the creatures within it can't live the kind of life they would have lived. They're in so much peril so often. So they're not only fighting to live, they're fighting not to be killed, which is, poor animals. It's a damn shame. We need to look after these animals. We're going to lose them so quickly. But yes, I thought that brought the whole thing home beautifully done. And thank you so much for sharing, Fire Queen.
Thank you, Nick Weaver. Beautiful comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, awesome comment there, were Kate, indeed. There was something just so fierce about this poem. As I was reading it, of course, you know, I didn't look at the prompt. I didn't look at the picture. And, you know, I thought we were reading about something about the Vikings, you know, the fierce battling and the age of the Vikings and, you know, and then I looked down at the AN and then I looked up at the picture and I went, oh, yeah, but, you know, there is something like, you know, there's parallels to be made between the two, you know, the combat of these animals and, you know, in nature, you know, where they really have to fight to survive, like Kate was saying. And, you know, more so now with everything that's going on, you know, to find food and everything. But as we tear away their land. But just amazing, amazing right all through. So bravo.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And I'd like to thank you, ladies, for joining me tonight. I had a great time with you both. Wonderful poetry, excellent reads, writes, and comments. Share a smile. It could save a life. So just keep that in mind. Go through your day. All right. Mm-hmm. Much love, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, my dear. Oh, thank you, Naomi.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Grace. Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Good night.
Love it. Good night, my dear.
Good night, everybody.